Okay, Liz, here's some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs, you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood.
Adam found his old striped shirts from 2007, so now I have like four that I can put into rotation.
Oh, I'm having total nostalgia, shirt nostalgia.
Well, you will see one of them tomorrow.
Yay.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in Ojai, right outside of LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Liz.
That's me, Liz Kraft. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about the progress. Yes, progress we're making on our novel.
We also have hits for reps and a bomb about an ending that makes us, but mostly me, sad.
Then we have a take a hike about doing you on the picket line, and this week's Hollywood hack will make your hair happier. And I have a TV show rec.
But first, Sarah, this update, we want to thank everybody for all of the suggestions we're getting for great t-shirts. We had put out a call asking you all to tell us what t-shirt you love. And we're getting so many. We're going, investigating all of them, looking, and we will report back at some point about what we tried, what looks great. So thank you for that.
Yes. Okay, Liz, it's time for From the Treadmill Desks Of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And this week, it's we have a draft of the first 40 pages of our novel.
Yes. So I think we may have mentioned we split up the beginning of the book and we each went off to write a few scenes. And I have talked about how my terror, I don't know why this process has just made me face all my inner demons. So I was really dragging on putting them together because I was terrified to have you read my pages.
Yes, but and you kept finally, texting me.
Yes.
It's really bad. It's so bad. It's terrible.
Yeah, but we finally put them together.
And I mean, I read yours the minute I got it. I was so excited. And it took me like 2 seconds. I was completely engrossed. It was so fun to read. And I was like, what is she talking about?
I was so relieved. I was so relieved. And then I didn't look at it when we sent it because I was like, I can't deal with this. So then poor you were just out there not having had me read them. But then I read them and I'm like, oh my God, I love it. So we have the beginning of a novel. I mean,
yes, we do.
Are there changes to be made, rewriting to be done in these first 40 pages? Of course. But it feels like an actual beginning of a book.
Yes. And what was comforting to me is that none of it felt like it needed a major course correction. There's always stuff, but I wasn't like, oh God, we don't know who these people are. There's nowhere to go with this. It was just like, oh, cool. I'm really enjoying reading this.
Yes. All of our ideas for rewriting are enhancing it, going deeper, planting things, making the women go together better because, of course, we were each writing in a vacuum, so we need to adjust to have them all, you know, fit perfectly. But it's not, it's not a, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and think about what we're doing situation.
Yes. I mean, and that's a huge relief because that has happened before. I mean, that happens to us on scripts all the time where we, you know, read a draft of something that we wrote or that someone else wrote and we're like, okay, we need to have a big conversation.
Yes. Let's take a step back.
Yeah.
People say, let's go to the 50,000 foot view. When anyone says that, you know it's going to be bad.
Yes.
A couple things that are kind of interest. We decided that rather than go back and rewrite what we've done, we're just going to keep moving forward to get a draft.
Yes.
Because we could spend forever going back. And as we go, we may make bigger decisions that impact the beginning. So there's no point in rewriting it now.
Exactly. Yes. There could be something on page 250 that affects something we do on page 5. So it would just be obsolete, not worth the time. Because I think the cool thing or the thing that I'm really like is sinking in for me is that momentum is key. Like just continuing the process and keeping it moving forward. As we know, most people who write novels are like, I write every day from, you know, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Because it's not, you don't have to do it that long, but you have to do it consistently.
Yes.
And that is definitely sinking in for me right now. It's been a while since I wrote a book. We did that when we were on The Shield. And I mean, I was so like, barely awake most of the time. I was just like any hour I could find to write on that book, I did. But now I'm getting that. Okay, you really just have to keep going. Moving forward is the most important thing.
Yes. And my sister Gretchen has a thing that, you know, the things we do every day matter more than the things we do once in a while. And it's like writing a little bit every day adds up.
It really does.
Much more than if we said, okay, on Wednesday, we're going to write for 8 hours. Not a good idea.
No.
And it's kind of the best thing that has come out of this. And I say this for anybody who's, you know, embarking on a big project like this, is that once you start and you see what you have, now we say we can do this.
Yes.
Like I wasn't sure we could, but we can.
We totally can. I was always sure we could.
I know. But I, for whatever reason, have been feeling very insecure about it. Now I feel very sure that we can and we must and we will.
And we will.
Si se puede.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, we can.
Let's bring in some Dolores Huerta.
And we are going to.
Yes. I think that's the most comforting thing. It's like, all right, it's a done deal. This is happening.
Yes. So we might as well write. I mean, that's the thing. I'm like, if this is happening, I may as well do my pages because I'm going to have to do them at some point.
Yes, exactly. So, yay. I would say that's a positive first report on our novel progress.
Absolutely. And we'll keep everyone posted along the way.
Yes.
All right. Coming up, we've got hits and bombs. But first, this break.
I don't know about you, but we're always looking for ways to get our kids involved and give back in our local community. That's why we're excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which is the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers. Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. I would love for Violet to do this program when she's in high school.
This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, it's also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/Hollywood. That's storyworth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, Sarah, it is time for hits and bombs because Hollywood is all about big hits and big bombs. And we are starting this week with a joint hit that is strike related. Yes. We want to give a hit to all of the agencies and agents and management companies and managers who have been really supportive of the WGA.
Yes. This is like a gigantic hit. It's not even a big hit. It's like an earth-sized hit because in 2007, 2008, it was just such a different thing. And there wasn't a tremendous amount of support from like everyone around writers. This time, I mean, having our, Diane keeps saying like, when can I meet you on the picket line? Like having our managers in our case and agents for other people really supporting us makes such a difference. It takes off some of the guilt for one thing, because you feel so bad about so many things when you're striking and the impact on other people. Like knowing that they're like there with us and people are sending food trucks and all kinds of wonderful things. It's thank you. This is a big hit.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And we have talked in the past about the support we're getting from SAG, from DGA, from IATSE, from the Teamsters.
Go Teamsters.
But, you know, those are all unions. This is coming from non-union people, from our agents and managers. And it's not going unnoticed. It is being noticed and appreciated and discussed by the writers on the picket line. So thank you.
Yes. And then, Liz, you have a bomb, a very sad bomb.
Yes. So, Sarah, my bomb is to Succession just for being over. Okay? Succession's finale was this week. I went and watched the finale with some Fantasy Island people at Fantasy Island writer, producer Adam Belanoff's house, which was great. I love to celebrate a finale, and we had Deviled Greggs, which will be funny to anybody who watches Succession. And there was a prize, which our former assistant, Lauren, won for predicting the most correct things about the ending. But look, I am going to miss this show so much. I love just getting into a world of a show. Even if the Succession story is over, I would happily every week just watch these characters living their lives, you know, with nothing happening. I just love the world. And I know millions obviously agree with me. And someone said last night, what are we going to do now? Like, what's the next show? Because, you know, we had Game of Thrones, which we were all into and was a whole world and had a whole lot of hype about it. And the Succession has had all this hype, but there isn't really another show right now to take its place. Or is there? I mean, I would love to hear from people if they have a show that they think is on that level that's going to be multi-seasons. I'd love to know what it is and you know, get going on it.
And Liz, my question is, do you think now that it's over, is this a show you're going to watch again? Like, in the absence of, you know, the successor to Succession, are you going to just go back to the beginning and start over?
Well, that's a good question. Many, many people have watched it again and watched to prepare for the end. I have not. I rarely watch things over. I have not rewatched Game of Thrones, which most people have. I have not rewatched The Sopranos. We'll see. I may on this. Especially if I could get you to watch, maybe I'd watch it at the same time so that we could discuss it. Or if I could get Adam to watch, because Adam has not watched it.
Oh.
So then maybe I would rewatch. I think I would probably enjoy it. I think it's just I always want to see new stuff because I feel like as a TV writer, it's my job to consume television.
Yeah.
And I fill up a lot of my me time with reality. So when I'm watching drama, I feel like it should be something new.
Right.
But we'll see because it is leaving a huge hole in my life. I mean, I definitely feel really sad about it. I just love it so much. It's like when Mad Men ended. I'm still not over that. I am not over the end of Mad Men. I still miss it so acutely.
And then Succession came along, at least to distract you.
I know. So now I'm back to missing Mad Men. But I guess this is why we're TV writers, because we're passionate about television.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm in the right place. Absolutely. Not at the moment, but in a larger sense.
Yes. From the 50,000 foot view.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, Liz. It's time for Take a Hike, where we talk about physical, mental, and spiritual health. So this should help you get through this Succession sadness. And today, it's physical and mental. It's you do you on the picket line.
Yes. So talk about what that means.
Well, we've discussed how important the solidarity of other unions and agents and managers has been in this strike, but there's also the sort of individual picketer and how you approach being on the picket line. And we've discovered that there are so many different ways to do it, which like I didn't feel in 2007, 2008. It was all, we were just all kind of marching in a circle. You know, now it's like everybody's got their thing.
Yeah, we talk about how everybody needs to do what works for them, right, in life. And it's the same when you're picketing. For me, for instance, Sarah, I love it as a social time. I go there and I chat. I just chat and chat and chat. I've met so many people. I've caught up with other people. I am really enjoying the social interaction. For me, that's what it's about.
Yes. But then our friend Corrine, who we picketed with recently, she was just like, it's just so much to be social. I want to come and march and then go home, which I totally understand.
And for those people who really don't want to be that social on the picket line, we've observed that wearing earbuds is very effective. So, and I've done that a little bit. As I said, mostly I'm social, but if I just don't, for whatever reason, occasionally I've been wearing earbuds. But there are people who just arrive, they pick up, they sign in, they pick up a sign, and they put in their earbuds and they walk and they do that for however long.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they don't talk to anyone. So that's a tip.
Yes. And then we have a friend who just, instead of doing like a big loop around the whole studio and picketing all the gates, has picked her gate. She's just going to go back and forth in front of that gate all day long.
Yes.
And that is her thing.
Yes. And those are people, I think, who just like routine. They like to know what they're doing. They don't want to alter it. I've gone, and you have gone to other studios, not just one studio, because we like to see, well, who's there? You know, maybe there'll be people all to catch up with there. Whereas this friend of ours, Lisa, she just likes to know where she's going and know what she's doing and do it with probably mostly the same people every day. Because I think a lot of people picket and go around and around, and that'll be their strike experience and they'll bond.
Yes. One thing that we unfortunately have that a lot of people who are new to picketing don't have is like we sort of have memories of 2007, 2008, and like we want to go to Fox. We want to picket Fox. We haven't done that yet, but that's where we spent the entire strike in 2007, 2008. So we want to go there just for like
nostalgia?
The memories. I don't know. The great memories.
Yes. So we are definitely in the wanting to bounce around category of people. So next week we need to go to Fox.
Yes.
And then another thing people are doing. And we've done a bit of this, and I think this is a great idea. Again, some like it, others don't, which is making picketing dates.
Yes.
So you see some, whether it's someone you see on the picket line and you say, oh, let's make a date to picket together on Thursday and really catch up. Or if it's someone that you want to see, like we want to see Corrine. So we might say, hey, Corrine, let's meet at Disney on Thursday. That's a thing that a lot of people like to do. The problem with that, I will say, because I did this to someone the other day, is your date can easily get crashed.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I saw someone the other day who I think was on a picket date. They'd planned, let's meet, let's talk, let's picket. And I was like, oh, hey, can I walk with you guys? And then there I am inserting myself. So that date can get crashed, but then that can be fun because you can meet someone new.
Yes. And then obviously there's the actual picket dating that is going on. I think a lot of people know that many people met their spouses back in 2007, 2008. And there's definitely that feeling of like, all right, is my person out here walking around? Am I going to meet them? And this is going to change my life. So there are also actual picketing romantic dates happening.
Yes. Yes, some people on the line are, you know, looking for a mate. Now, Sarah, one thing in terms of making picketing work for you that I have decided is that I have vowed I will never eat something on the picket line unless I have brought it, which is basically a Zone bar that I carry around with me in case my blood sugar gets low. Because there is so much food, wonderfully, the support is incredible we are getting with all this food, but I know myself, and I can go down a snacking hole if I start eating the stuff that people bring to the picket line.
Yes, and it's a, you know, it's donuts. You know how we feel about donuts. There is some healthy stuff, veggies and stuff, but it's mostly not. And then there are food trucks. Now, that's a question that I have. Like, if you were there at lunchtime and there was a food truck, would you eat from the food truck?
I have thought about this and I have decided no. I've decided that's just a slippery slope. And for my own just health and sanity, I just don't want to have any sort of gray area or slippery slopes, so I'm just going to keep it strict.
Okay. Yes. And my personal picketing thing is I like to get in my steps. I like to have people to picket with, but then I want to go to lunch, either before I want to go to lunch and then picket, or I want to picket and then go to lunch. Because I want the more like quieter social time, not the like, oh, I'm talking with 8,000 people around me social time.
Yeah. So, and you and I have done both. We've picketed and gone to lunch. And I prefer to picket and then go to lunch.
Yes, I think I do
too. Because one, it's cooler in the morning.
Yeah.
And then also you're done and lunch is more enjoyable once you're done with your task.
True.
So I'm curious if anybody wants to write in with their picketing preferences. I'd be curious. Might give us some ideas for how we want to do it. You know, it's going to be a long summer. Gretchen and I talk about designing your summer on the Happier with Gretchen Rubin podcast. And I'm like, this is my summer of picketing.
Yes.
I don't need to design beyond that. Of course, I would love it if the strike ended and picketing was no longer necessary, but I think most of us feel that this is going to go through the summer. So write to us with your suggestions. Also, any hacks you may have. Sarah, could throw out a quick picketing hack. I can throw out a quick picketing hack, bonus hack for this episode. My sister gave me a sling bag, fanny pack, whatever you want to call it, that I wear around crossbody style. And it has a pocket on the outside. And what I do is I stick my picketing sign into that pocket. So it's holding it up. And then I have my hand above where, you know, higher on the stick part. And it really helps because holding up the sign gets quite tiring, especially when it's windy. So this way, that anchors my sign and helps me a lot. So
okay, I have to say, that is a genius hack. I would never have thought of it in a million years. You showed me last week when we were picketing, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Now,
yes.
Just
having something to stick the end of that sign in so it's not wavering in the wind as much. And so smart. I hope a lot of picketers are listening to this, Liz.
So the key is to have the bag that has that outside pocket. All right, coming up, Sarah has got a hair Hollywood hack, but first this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Okay, Liz, this week's Hollywood hack is the Dip Tangerine and Honeydew Conditioner Bar. Now, I had recommended a shampoo bar previously, and I didn't give a brand. There are so many. They're all probably, you know, good in different ways. But I tried a lot of conditioner bars, and I did not like any of them. And then someone on our Facebook group recommended Dip. And one of our other listeners knows the founder. So I was like, oh, God, I really hope I like this. And I totally love it. So the Dip Tangerine and Honeydew Conditioner Bar, it's the first one that, like, has made my hair happy. So I'm thrilled. Okay. Thank you for the recommendation, listeners.
Yes. And just in case anyone missed that shampoo bar hack, do you want to just quickly describe what that is? Because I had never heard of a shampoo bar until you told me about it.
Well, it's basically if you're trying to have less plastic and less waste in your life, it's just a bar that's like soap and you use it, you know, you rub it over your head and it works like shampoo, but you're not throwing out a plastic bottle at the end. Yeah. You're, you know, it's more environmentally friendly.
All right. So the Dip Tangerine Honeydew Conditioner Bar.
Yes.
Sarah, finally, this week you have a recommendation for us. Every week we're recommending something, whether it be a podcast, TV show, movie, just something we like. And this week you have a TV show.
Yes. If anyone is not watching Somebody Somewhere on Max, which is used to be HBO Max, it is not Cinemax, but now it's called Max. Makes no sense. Anyway, if you're not watching Somebody Somewhere, you really should. This is a show created by Hannah Boss and Chris Thereen. It takes place in Kansas, which of course feels very close to our Missouri people's hearts. It stars Bridget Everett as Sam. She is beyond amazing.
Incredible.
She's like the female Jeremy Strong, but I can watch her. Like, she just has so much going on. Yes. And like, she sings, she's hilarious, she's emotional. Like, it just, every episode, I just can't believe this woman.
Yeah. And then I'm also loving this show. As you know, Sarah, I'm completely obsessed with it. And Jeff Hiller plays her friend Joel, and he is incredible as well.
Yes. I think like season one, he maybe didn't have as much to do. And then they realized this guy is unfucking believable. We need to have him in there with her. And it's so nice to see him. But the whole cast is great. Mary Catherine Garrison plays her sister, Trisha. Murray Hill plays this Fred, this guy who's just like, you just love him.
So charming.
So just watch the show. It will make you happier and make your life better.
Yes, it will. When I finish it, I'm definitely happier every time the credits roll. I feel good inside.
Yes. And that is it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. You can email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please follow us if you haven't already.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and thanks to everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound.
Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13. And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Listen to the other Onward Project podcast, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, Side Hustle School, and Everything Happens with Kate Bowler.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at S Fain, and Liz is at Liz Craft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
Liz, I felt very, like, small town this week. Violet took eggs to all of our neighbors because now our chickens are laying so much.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have, like, little tins with a stamp that says Fain Family Farm. And she took them to all the neighbors.
Oh, cute. Oh, my gosh.
Yesterday, one of our neighbors brought me some homemade bacon that he makes.
Oh,
isn't that sweet?
My gosh.
I was like, oh. Community.
That's very somebody somewhere. Very
it
Manhattan,
is.
Kansas.
It is.
I love it.
From the Onward Project.